Hello?
Podcast Network Asia. You are listening to the concluding episode of a two-part series called Psycho on the Last 24 Hours.
Andrew Philip Cunanan was born in National City, California on August 31, 1969. To Modesto Cunanan, a Filipino Navy veteran turned stockbroker, and Marianne Schilacci, an Italian-American. From the get-go, he was bright and promising. According to a book by Vanity Fair journalist Maureen Orth called Vulgar Favors, Cunanan had an IQ of 147, which classified him as a genius, and was so smart, he had memorized a whole set of encyclopedias by the age of 10. In an interview with Diane Sawyer in 1997, his brother, Christopher Cunanan, said that you could pick any edition, ask him a question, and he would have the answer. Out of four siblings, Andrew Cunanan was the only one to attend a prestigious and expensive private school called the Bishop School in La Jolla, California. According to Christopher Cunanan in the same interview, Andrew was their father's pride and joy. Early on, Andrew also exhibited a proficiency for lying. He constantly made up stories about his background, which behaviorists think is an early sign of antisocial personality disorder. At different times, he claimed that his father was either Filipino royalty, an Israeli millionaire, or a Fifth Avenue aristocrat. He also claimed that his family owned a pineapple plantation in the Philippines. It's not surprising then that in his high school yearbook, he was voted most likely to be remembered, a chilling foreshadowing of what's to come. Lying and narcissism are classic traits of psychopaths, but among serial killers, it's Andrew's genius IQ that puts him among some of the scariest in recent history. Milwaukee cannibal Jeffrey Dahmer, easily one of history's most disturbed and notorious serial killers, had an IQ of 145. So did Edmund Kemper. Known as the co-ed killer, Kemper was polite and well-spoken. He was a model prisoner, and if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't suspect that he's a depraved and savage killer. At 10 years old, Kemper buried his cat alive. Once dead, he dug it up, decapitated it, and displayed it on a spike. This is his first trophy, and a frightening preview of what's to come. After he killed both of his grandparents at the age of 15, he was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic and sent to the state hospital, where he masked his sexual violence obsession with an eerie outward calm. He was paroled just after 5 years and, against the advice of his doctors, would eventually be released into his mother's care. As a result, eight women would die in the most horrific way, but the most monstrous death he reserved for his mother, Clarnell Elizabeth. According to Wikipedia, Ed Kemper had a severely dysfunctional relationship with his mother. Described as a neurotic, domineering alcoholic, constantly belittled, humiliated, and abused him, Clarnell reportedly often mocked Kemper for his large size, who at 15 was already 6 feet 4 inches tall. She derided him as a real weirdo and refused to show him affection out of concern that she would turn him gay. Between May 1972 and April 1973, Ed Kemper killed 5 college students, 1 high school student, his mother, and his mother's best friend. He would pick up female students who were hitchhiking, take them to an isolated area where he would either shoot, stab, smother, or strangle them. Then, he would take their bodies back home, where he would decapitate them, perform irrematio on their severed heads, have sexual intercourse with their corpses, before finally dismembering them. Irrematio is a form of oral sex where a man thrusts penis into someone else's mouth, in contrast to fellatio, where the penis is being actively orally serviced by a person. In Kemper's case, that person would be a decapitated head. On April 20, 1973, Kemper waited until his mom, then 52-year-old Clarnell, fell asleep after coming home from a party, before he bludgeoned her to death with a claw hammer and slit her throat with a penknife. He then decapitated her and engaged irrematio with her severed head. According to Kemper, He put her head on the shelf and screamed at it for an hour. Then he threw darts at it before ultimately smashing her face in. He also cut out her tongue and larynx and put them in a garbage disposal, apparently as an attempt to erase the sound of her voice. Kemper, however, wasn't quite done. That same night, he called his mom's best friend, 59-year-old Sally Hallett, and invited her over to dinner at their house. When Hallett arrived, Kemper strangled her to death and put her body in a closet. Kemper then fled to Colorado, but turned himself into the police soon after he realized that the police wasn't in hot pursuit as he had originally assumed. Asked later in an interview why he surrendered and confessed, Kemper said,
"The original purpose is gone. It wasn't serving any physical or real emotional purpose. Toward the end, I just said to hell with it and called it all off."
He was 25 years old when he was sentenced to 8 counts of life imprisonment to be served concurrently at the California Medical Facility. Before we proceed, let's hear a quick word from our fellow podcasters from Podcast Network Asia.
Mahilig ka ba sa kwentong kababalaghan at misteryo? Halina sa aking campsite at pag-usapan natin mga kwentong humalaw sa kultura, kasaysayan at kamalayan natin mga Pilipino. Ako si Earl, ang inyong campmaster, at inaanyayahan ko kayong makinig sa Philippine Camper Stories Podcast. Makinig na libre sa Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at sa inyong paboritong podcast platforms.
By 25, Andrew Cunanan had dropped out of college at UC San Diego and had been living off the generosity of wealthy older men, a practice which he apparently started in high school. His father, Modesto, had moved back to the Philippines to evade arrest for embezzlement and left the Cunanan family to live off his meager Navy pension. Andrew, however, was anything but destitute. According to the Washington Post, a relationship with a wealthy retiree allowed Andrew to maintain a lavish lifestyle. While living with 58-year-old Norman Blatchford, Andrew drove a brand new Infiniti, lived off $2,500 a month, and made frequent trips to New York to see Broadway shows. He vacationed in Paris and the south of France. But this relationship would not last long, and many believe that when Norman Blatchford cut off Andrew in 1996, began the beginning of Andrew's downward spiral that tragically resulted in the death of 5 men, including fashion designer Gianni Versace. By April 1997, friends reported that Andrew had resumed selling drugs, something he used to do after quitting college. He was also reportedly abusing painkillers and methamphetamines, as well as drinking heavily. Eventually, Andrew had maxed out all his credit cards and had to get a credit extension so he can afford to buy a plane ticket to Minneapolis and see an ex, Jeffrey Trail, his first victim. While in Minneapolis, he also met up with an old flame, David Madsen, someone he considered to be the love of his life, according to friends. Madsen would also be his second victim. On April 27, 1997, Andrew called Jeffrey Trail from David Madsen's apartment and told him to come over to retrieve his personal handgun, which he stole. Upon his arrival, he beat Trail to death with a claw hammer in front of Madsen. Initially, investigators treated Madsen as an accomplice. Witnesses claimed seeing the pair walking Madsen's dog a day after Trail's murder, driving Madsen's bright red Jeep, and eating lunch together in a bar. Madsen's family has always insisted that he was held hostage by Andrew, and on May 3rd, his body would be discovered near a lake about 50 miles from his home. He'd been shot in the head and back with the same gun that Andrew would use on all of his victims. It's unclear why he killed both men on separate occasions. Many theorize that Andrew suspected that the two might have known each other and had been talking about him behind his back after Trail moved to Minneapolis. Andrew also reportedly had contracted AIDS and wanted revenge on whoever gave him the disease. Later, it was found out that he didn't have AIDS. After killing Madsen, Andrew drove his Jeep to Chicago and killed 72-year-old Lee Miglin, a prominent local real estate developer. According to the Chicago Tribune, this might have been a crime of opportunity as no connection was ever found between the two men. Miglin had been bound with duct tape, stabbed more than 20 times with a screwdriver, with his throat cut open with a hacksaw. After the murder, Andrew went inside the family home, ate a ham sandwich, shaved, and rested. He then drove Miglin's Lexus to New Jersey, where he murdered another victim, William Reese, a cemetery worker. Andrew shot him to death and stole his 1995 red Chevrolet pickup truck. By July 1997, Andrew had been placed on the FBI's most wanted list and the subject of a nationwide manhunt. He'd been living in Miami Beach for almost 2 months, and despite being on a wanted list, made little attempts to stay under the radar. According to the FBI bureau chief at the time, Andrew was a very visible person, not a recluse, not a shut-in. It seemed fitting then that his fifth victim would be just as visible, the kill that would elevate his killer profile to international status. On July 15, 1997, at around 8:45 a.m., Johnny Versace was coming back to his South Beach mansion from his usual morning routine of picking up coffee and magazines, when Andrew approached him and shot him once on the back of the head and once on the left cheek. Andrew reportedly fled the scene on foot, while Versace was rushed to the hospital and pronounced dead at 9:21 a.m. 9 days later, Andrew would be found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head inside a luxury houseboat he had broken into in Miami Beach. No suicide note was found. It's not known exactly why Andrew targeted Versace. According to the book Vulgar Favors, on which the award-winning limited series The Assassination of Gianni Versace is based, Andrew had developed somewhat of an obsession with the Italian designer after an unverified encounter. Andrew's friends recalled that he often name-dropped the fashion designer's name after meeting him in San Francisco when Versace was in town to design the costumes for the opera. According to the book writer Maureen Orth, Andrew always knew he would be famous due to his behavior. There was no specific goal. One of his high school friends in an interview claimed that his goal was more, "People will remember me because of my behavior rather than my achievement. Because of my personality." So does this mean that Andrew Cunanan is the real deal Pinoy psycho? Is he a serial killer? According to the FBI, he is. Although some criminologists consider him more as a spree killer, defined as the murder of two or more without almost no time break, the FBI classifies Andrew's crime of multiple murders over a period of several months, separated by a cooling off period, as a definite description of a serial killer.
And that concludes our two-part series called Psycho on the Last 24 Hours.
Don't miss out on new episodes. Like, subscribe to The Last 24 Hours or follow the podcast on Facebook at Historia Ni Jet, where you can get in touch, tell me your thoughts, suggest cases, or just say hello. I'll do my best to get back to you.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.